Good evening. Amen. What happens to people when they get a good drink of that water? They'll never thirst. They'll be satisfied. Jesus said, but out of their belly would also flow rivers of living water. And that would affect other people. It would not just be for them. It would have a profound effect on others. And I'd like to talk about that profound effect that the Spirit of the living God had upon others. And as the Lord filled men and women, what did they do? Sometimes I know you young people, I know that there are many people who feel like there's no purpose. What is our purpose of being here? What is our purpose of being born again and being children of God? And it certainly isn't to be a spectator in a church somewhere. That was not God's intention for His great salvation. But there is purpose in life. And you can just go and read your Bible and see the early church and what happened when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. God came upon them in a real way. And I know we desire that. I do. I'm always reaching for higher ground and stretching myself. And I want to stretch you some tonight. You would reach for higher ground. And I know I've been in the ministry for 25 or so years. I know we as human beings, especially those who are Christians, we tend to put ourselves inside of little boxes. And we stay inside of those boxes. I'm the type of person who likes to get outside the box and allow the Bible to challenge me to go higher. And so I want to challenge you. We're going to look at the Scriptures tonight and do some reading. And I want you to allow the Word of God to challenge your heart. You know, if you were a member of the early church, you would have turned the world upside down. I like that testimony. They which have turned the world upside down are come hither also. What a testimony. Is that the way it is in your church? You're turning the world upside down. What a testimony of movement, of motivation, of reaching out to a world. Let's open our Bibles tonight, and we're going to look at Acts chapter number 2 to start off with. I want to talk to you tonight about God's vision for the last days. God's vision for the last days. A vision for you, a vision for me. From the early church example, the book of Acts. I'm going to start reading in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. These are somewhat familiar verses for many of us. We're going to focus on verses 17 to verse 19 here this evening. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse number 1. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Pentecost, pente means 50. Pentecost is 50 days after Passover. And so this was a specific day, the day of Pentecost. And this was God's purpose. This was God's plan. Do you realize that 50 days after the Passover lamb was slain, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, 50 days after that, God brought the law down on Mount Sinai to Moses. And now 50 days after the true Lamb of God is slain in the new covenant, God comes down again and He writes the commandments. He writes His law not upon tables of stone, but He writes it upon the tables of the heart in this new covenant. And so when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born?" He lists here a number of different tongues. There were people from all over the known world, Jews who had come for the Passover and the feast. And so there were many, many languages represented. Verse 12, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, 'What meaneth this?' Others mocking said, 'These men are full of new wine.' But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, 'You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel, 'And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come.'" Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge you tonight in all of our ways. And Lord, we look to you. Lord, we acknowledge that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it has the potential to change our life and change it dramatically. And Lord, I do ask you tonight to use the word of God in a very powerful way in each of our hearts. May we learn your vision and perfect desire for our life here in these last days, Lord. Open our eyes that we might see. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's a mention here of the last days, and I just want to give you some bookends tonight for the last days. The last days began when the Lord poured out His Spirit here on the day of Pentecost, when these 120 or so were in the upper room, and they were there on the day of Pentecost waiting for the promise of the Father, which Jesus had promised. He told them to go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. And here is the beginning of what we would call the kingdom of God, because the Lord Jesus had died, he was buried, and he rose again from the dead, and he sat down on the right hand of God, fulfilling 2 Samuel chapter 7, the promise that God had made to David, that of the fruit of your loins, I will raise up a king that will establish a kingdom forever. And so the kingdom of God has begun, and you and I have an opportunity tonight to live in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I trust you're experiencing that. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so these last days, as God looks down upon the last days in His time frame, the last days begin here with the day of Pentecost, and they end when the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. So there's coming a day when Jesus Christ is going to leave that place where He is seated at the right hand of God. He is seated there, the Bible says, until He will come and make His enemies His footstool. And one day the Lord's going to stand up and He's going to return to this earth, and He's going to crush His enemies. He's going to make His enemies His footstool. But from the day of Pentecost until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is this period called the last days. And I believe we're living in the last of the last days. I mean, the end is approaching. And the Lord Jesus is coming. And yet God has a vision. He has a desire for these times called the last days. And I'd like to consider that here tonight. I'd like you to look with me here again to verse number 17. And this is God's heart. This was spoken by the prophet Joel. Verse 17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days, those last days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Now stop and think about that here. Here the Scripture says that God has a vision or a purpose for these last days. And He begins it by pouring out of His Spirit. Pouring out of His Spirit upon those of first 120 there in the upper room. And God's heart is to continue to pour out His Spirit. He would love to pour out His Spirit upon us tonight. It is His desire, it is His vision for the last days. But notice what the Scripture says here. His heart is that He could pour out His Spirit. And I believe the Spirit of God is given to us for many purposes. I believe the Spirit of God is given to us that we might live holy and overcome sin. I believe the Spirit of God is given to us that we might have love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and all the fruits of the Spirit. But here the Lord says that He is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh, that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Verse 18, "Your handmaidens and your servants I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." And the word prophesy there means simply this: to be inspired, to be motivated to speak the Word of God. Amen. To be inspired and to be motivated to speak the Word of God. If you see what happened back here in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit of God actually was poured out upon these people, look what it says here in verse number 4 of chapter 2, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak." They began to speak. In other words, that Spirit that was poured out upon them filled them from their innermost being, and they began to speak out of their mouth. It's an amazing thing that happened. They spoke in languages. And the reason why God gave them languages was because there were many languages there on that day. And He desired for all those who were there at the Feast of Pentecost to hear the gospel in their own language. And so He did a miracle, and He gave them this gift of tongues. But here in verse 17 and 18, this blessing that God gave was for all flesh. "I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." And I think of all of you here tonight and God's heart for all of you, all of God's children, all of His believers, all flesh. You notice here there's no distinction between men and women. It says your sons and your daughters, your sons over here on this side of the congregation, and your daughters over here on this side of the congregation. I want to pour out of my Spirit upon all of you. Your sons and your daughters shall speak with my inspiration. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman, a son or a daughter. Gender does not matter. Young men and old men, it says here in verse 17, age. Some of you are very young. Some of us are much older. But young men and old men, and your status in this world, verse 18, "and on my servants and on my handmaidens." It's not just for rich. It's not just for the esteemed. It's for even the servants and the handmaidens, all flesh. Now just think about that for a minute here tonight. God in heaven, This amazing day when Jesus would sit down at the right hand, having finished His work of redemption, and the Lord Jesus sending the Holy Spirit of God to His people, and God saying, I want to pour out My Spirit upon all of My people, that whether they're a man or a woman, a young man or an old man, whether they're a servant or whether they're esteemed, I am going to pour out of My Spirit, and they are going to prophesy. Brother Denny used to call that an army prophesying. And that is how the early church turned the world upside down. Because the Spirit of God so filled them that it caused them all to begin to open their mouth and to prophesy. You notice here it doesn't say this is just for the elders of the church or those who are gifted. It's not just for men, young ladies. But all flesh. And so God says that these days are going to be marked by My people prophesying the Word of God, inspired by My Spirit. Notice the picture here that we're given in Acts chapter 2, verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Cloven tongues. Tongues of fire. Can you imagine? Tongues of fire upon each of their heads. What is God trying to say to them? He's trying to say to them that I am going to set your tongue on fire. How's it going with you tonight? Is your tongue set on fire? Not the kind that James talks about. The tongue is a world of iniquity. It's set on fire to spread evil and wickedness and bitterness, but no, a tongue that is set on fire to divinely and under the inspiration of God to speak the Word of God. Has your tongue been set on fire? You say, well, that's just not the way my box fits me. But I'm teaching the Lord's box. This is the Word of the Lord. This is the vision that God has for His people in the last days. Listen, Christianity is more than living a lifestyle. It's speaking the truth boldly. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said this, "But you shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto Me." And I realize tonight that many of you sit here and you've been taught much of your life to be quiet and to listen. Better to be seen than to be heard. But you know, in the Bible, it's good to be seen and to be heard. Can I get an amen for that one? Better to be seen than to be heard. Maybe that's true as a child, but as a child of God, it's not true. Let's look here again at verse 17 and 18. I want to pull a couple of things out here for us. You know, there's no better way, I think, there's no worse way to quench the Spirit of God. Can you imagine God pouring out His Spirit upon His people that they might prophesy, and yet they grieve and quench His Spirit? And through silence, through fear of man, they are unwilling to open their mouth and to speak. You know, we talk about grieving the Spirit of God. We talk about quenching the Spirit of God. If it is God's vision for the last days that you and I be prophets and prophesy, how do we not quench His Spirit? By keeping our silence. Keeping our mouths silent about the Word of God and about our faith. Well, you can read the book of Acts, and we're going to do some of that tonight. I want to share with you some things that the Scriptures teach us here about this army that went forth prophesying. So let's turn over to Acts chapter 4, and we'll watch this group of people as they begin to expand and to go into all the world. Here in Acts chapter 4, starting in verse number 1, And I'm going to read a lot of verses here tonight, so let's follow along. And as they spake unto the people, this is the early church, this is the apostles, as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Now, we're not very far, maybe a few days, into this pouring out of God's Spirit upon all flesh. And the early church is starting to go forth and to speak. Notice that word in chapter 4, verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved. Why were they grieved? Grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And it wasn't long before these God's children who were under the inspiration of the Spirit of God began to suffer affliction because of their preaching. Just a few days, perhaps. As they begin to speak, they are put in jail or they are held. They are put in hold. Persecution is already coming. And doesn't take long before the authorities are trying to stop the Word of God from being spoken. Jump over to verse 17. We're not going to read the whole story here. Verse 17. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. You know, these people could have said, and many people do this, they could have said, let's just go ahead and be quiet, right? Let's just go ahead and be quiet and let's go ahead and just live our lives on the north side of Jerusalem. Let's have our church services and let's live a normal Israeli life. And you know, they would have been left alone. And the thing that these men were being accused of was that they were speaking or they were preaching the Word of God. They were prophesying. Look at verse number 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. You know, we don't feel the... I don't think we don't feel the responsibility that these disciples did. Just about 60 days before this, they had heard Jesus say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, starting in Jerusalem. And that was upon their hearts. And so as they are waiting there on the day of Pentecost and the Spirit of God comes upon them, they immediately obey the Lord. And they are thrust out into Jerusalem. And as they are thrust out into Jerusalem and begin to speak the word of God, all of a sudden they are oppressed. They are persecuted. And they are brought before the rulers and they say, listen, you better be quiet. And they have this dilemma. Should we obey you or should we obey God? And so threats begin to come for preaching the Word of God. Not because they are following Jesus and living quietly, but because they are opening their mouth and they are speaking the Word of God. And one of the things that troubles me is many people have this idea that we are waiting today for persecution to come. I want to tell you something. Persecution is already here. We're not waiting for persecution. Persecution isn't waiting for us. It is waiting for us to follow the example that the Lord gives us of the early church. It is waiting for us to go forth and prophesy. And we're going to see this as we go down through the scriptures here. Persecution comes because men and women are willing to speak. Look back here at Acts chapter 4. Let's keep reading in verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Now they go back to their congregation and they say to the congregation, we're being threatened because we are obeying the Lord's command and speaking the word of God. And you know, amazingly, these people get together and they lift up their voice and they cry out to God. And they don't cry out to God for deliverance from the problems that they're facing and from the threats. They cry out to God that God would give them more boldness to preach His word. Look down to verse number 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. This idea of speaking thy word. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Do you think God was pleased with that prayer? God was very pleased with that prayer. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Listen, God is in this. God is in this. Some of you might ask, where is the great things and the great miracles that happen in the early church? You know, I read these things in the Bible. But where are the people who actually feel the weight of the responsibility and the commandment of the Lord Jesus to go and preach the gospel to every creature? Even in the face of persecution and opposition, to then lift up your voice and gather people together and ask the Lord not to remove the persecution, but to give you the courage and the boldness to continue to preach in spite of the opposition. And that's the kind of a Christianity we don't see much of today. And so the fullness of the Holy Spirit is given to all those who are willing to go forth and to speak boldly. God is in it. You can see this. The place was shaken where they were assembled together. Jump over to Acts chapter 5. We're just going to tour here these verses. Acts chapter 5, this is an overview of the activities of the early church. Acts chapter 5, verse 17 says, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. I'm going to show you something here in just a little bit. But people began to get upset, angry at the preaching of God's word. You know, one of the things that's missing in the church today, Jesus said, marvel not that the world hates you. You know it hated me before it hated you. Does anybody know tonight what Jesus said about why does the world hate Him? In John 7:7, Jesus said, the world hates me because I testify of its works that they are evil. That's why the world hated Jesus. He was testifying of their works that it was evil. And so as these individuals go forth and they begin to communicate the word of God and lift up the standard and the righteousness of God, the world begins to stir up in indignation and anger. And so the Lord told His disciples ahead of time, don't marvel that the world hates you. It hated me before it hated you. The The world didn't hate Jesus because of his lifestyle, because he was an honest person. As a matter of fact, the world likes honest people. It didn't hate him because of his dress, but because he was willing to speak up and to prophesy and to communicate the word of God. Well, problems are coming for these dear saints of God who are going forth and opening their mouth. Look at verse number 18. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Now it's not just threats, but now they end up in jail. But notice something that happens here in verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And I like that. You're going to see this as we go down through this, that angels start to get involved. Even the Lord Jesus will get involved in the preaching of the gospel. Here, these men are put in jail for speaking the word of God. And as they're in a jail cell, all of a sudden an angel comes to them. And an angel opens the prison doors. Now we just read these stories and we think, oh, that's a nice story. Picture yourself in prison. You're preaching the gospel. They're threatening you. You're spending a few nights in prison. And all of a sudden an angel comes and wakes you up and opens the prison door and then tells you this. This is an amazing statement. The angel says, now go stand and speak in the temple all the words of this life to the people. How important is it for us to speak? And look what happens in verse 21. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning. I like that. They didn't sleep in. They went right out early in the morning, God says, and got back to the business of preaching and teaching in the temple. The temple was where the people would gather on a regular basis, and there was plenty of people coming and going that they could communicate the word of God with. And so they go and teach again. Let's keep reading. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. Of course, the officers come and find them not in the prison. Jump down to verse number 26. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them and set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Listen, we're telling you to silence yourself, and you are filling Jerusalem with your doctrine. And I like what Peter says here. Verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. You know, they had a real fear of God. They had a real fear of God in their hearts, even to the point of imprisonment, even to the point of being beaten, even to the point of martyrdom. They had a fear of God. We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Verse 30. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And I like this. And we are his witnesses of those things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Obey him. Obey him in what? Well, if you go back and look at verse 29, it says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Obey? The Spirit of God is given to those who obey him. Yes, obey him in many different ways, but obey him in going forth and prophesying, going forth and speaking the word of God. Obey him. And so the persecution is intensifying. Look down to verse number 40. Let's keep reading. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak. Again, the issue here is do not speak. I want to tell you why this is so important here in just a little bit. There's something going on in the book of Acts. And I want to lay a foundation to show you what is happening. Do not speak. That's their concern. You can have your church services. Go over here and have a nice building and meet and do your church thing. And we'll let you alone. But just don't speak. And so things are getting rather severe. They're getting beaten. Verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council. These are guys with probably lacerations on their back. They're probably in pain. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. My. Now, what is happening inside of them? Well, they have the power and fullness of the Spirit of God in them. And this fullness is driving them and motivating them to prophesy even in the midst of beatings, even in the midst of threats, even in the midst of persecution. Some people say, boy, I'd like to live back in the early church and see all the things, the miracles and the shaking of the house and the healing of the lame and the day of Pentecost. I don't know if we would really like to go back there. Because we're going to find out if you did live back there, you would feel some responsibility to prophesy. Well, the severity of the persecution is increasing. Now, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, and I want to share this with you here this evening, because this is the essence of what is happening in the book of Acts. There is a war going on in the book of Acts. There is a war going on. God has sent forth His Spirit into His people. Men, women, sons and daughters, young and old, all flesh. And God has sent His Spirit into them that they might go forth as an army prophesying. You know, the Word of God is powerful. Did you know that? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is dangerous to the devil. As a matter of fact, the Bible says when Jesus talked about the four soils, he said that when the seed is sown into a man's heart, the devil cometh immediately and snatches away that which is sown in the heart. You see, the devil knows the potential of the Word of God in the heart of men. And so God is pouring out His Spirit and sending His people out to prophesy. But the devil is trying to stop it. And you read through the book of Acts, you see this amazing war that's happening. Angels get involved. Even the Lord Jesus comes and visits and encourages in this war. And there's three statements in the book of Acts that are separated by about six chapters that tell you something about this war. And one of them, the first one, is found here in Acts chapter 6, verse number 7. Look at it for a minute. The first part of this verse. And the Word of God increased. What does that mean? Does that mean they got more Bible verses or more Bible passages? The Word of God increased. Now, what that means is this. That these individuals went forth inspired by God's Spirit, and the Word of God was spreading. The Word of God was going out. The seed was being sown in many, many, many hearts. The Word of God was increasing. Hold your finger here once and turn to Acts chapter 12, verse 24. It says here in verse 24 of Acts 12, but the Word of God grew and multiplied. The Word of God grew and multiplied. This great army that was sent forth to prophesy is taking the Word of God more and more places. The seed is being sown in more and more hearts. And then look over to Acts chapter 19 and verse 20. Acts chapter 19, verse 20. So mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. So mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. So it goes from Acts chapter 6, verse 7, the Word of God increased, to Acts chapter 12, verse 24, which says, the Word of God grew and multiplied, to Acts chapter 19, verse 20, so mightily grew the Word of God and prevail. And so what you're seeing here in the book of Acts is God pouring out His Spirit upon His people, they going forth and spreading the Word of God, and the devil trying to stop it, the devil inspiring the leaders in Israel to try to squash the Word of God. And the people of God being bold and courageous and crying out to God for grace and mercy to be filled with His Spirit, to be able to continue in the midst of persecution to preach the Word of God with boldness. And as they continue to do so, the Word of God grows and multiplies. And so God is trying to get His Word out into the hearts of men and women, and the devil is trying to stop it. And you, if you read through the book of Acts and you consider this war that's occurring, and that's why the angels are coming. And when the devil is throwing Peter and the disciples into prison, God sends the angel, and the angel says, get up, Peter, here's the gate, get back out there and start speaking the word. And so there's a battle. Do you know there's a battle on today? In these last days, how many of you know that the Word of God is trying to silence, or excuse me, the devil is trying to silence the Word of God today? I mean, we've seen this in the public schools, we've seen this in the public sector, and trying to remove the Word of God from our society. And you know, it's unfortunate, I think, that we keep the Word of God inside of the four walls, and we preach it in here. God is interested in the Word of God to go all over the place. That seed to be sown in the hearts of men and women all over. Not just here inside of a church building. And so the devil comes immediately and snatches up the Word. Do you know the devil understands the power that is in the Word of God? And that's why there's many philosophies today, and some of you have heard them. Just be quiet. Just be quiet. There is a war going on for the souls of men. Jesus said to go and preach to every creature. The devil is in the business of blinding the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine unto them. And so in the midst of this battle, and we're not going to look at the entire book of Acts, but in the midst of this battle, there are some casualties. James is martyred. People are imprisoned. But I like this. Turn to Acts chapter 18 with me here. The Lord makes some personal visits to encourage. And Paul sees the Lord in a vision. You know, even the Lord is getting involved in this thing. Two times in the book of Acts, the Lord Jesus appears to the apostle and encourages him in this war. In Acts chapter 18, verse number 9, the scripture says, then spake the Lord to Paul. Paul was at Corinth in the night by a vision. Notice what he says. Be not afraid, but speak. There's that word again. Be not afraid, Paul, but speak and hold not thy peace. Paul was being persecuted. He was being threatened. And here Jesus comes to him in the middle of this war. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. Didn't Jesus promise us to go into all the world and I am with you always, right? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But here the Lord affirms that. Paul needs it. He's taking a beating. I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Now, I know the Lord could have said many things to Paul, you know, in this vision. But the war is about getting the Word of God out into the hearts of men. And the encouragement to Paul was, Paul, listen, don't fear, speak. Open your mouth, keep speaking. Well, that's not the only time that Paul got a vision from the Lord or a visitation. Look over to Acts 23 and verse number 10. You know, whenever an angel of the Lord appears to these men, these disciples, it's always about keep going, keep speaking, keep prophesying. Look at the Acts chapter 23, verse 10. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him, another vision, and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Again, an encouragement to Paul about witnessing, testifying. You know what's amazing to me is to see so many people in the church who don't even think that preaching and testifying is even important. Folks, there's something wrong with that. There's something desperately wrong with that. When you see this entire book, this entire testimony of the early church, and this war that is going on in trying to get the Word of God into the hearts of men, and how the devil is fighting against it. Why would anyone discourage people from speaking the Word of God? Even if you're a new Christian, I'm sure if we had that woman at the well come up here, you know, and she met Jesus and she was converted and just coming out of sin. I mean, she'd been married to, what, five people, and he was living with one. And here she is, first day of her conversion. I'm sure there'd be many excuses. I'm not an experienced Christian. I don't know how to say, I don't know how to share the gospel. But all she did was take what she knew. She had met Jesus and she ran and began to prophesy, didn't she? The Bible says she brought the whole city, a whole city of men to the Lord. Well, let's go back here and look at a few other things here in Acts chapter 8. Starting in verse number 1. Saul is being used as a tool of the devil here to try to stop the preaching of the word. Stephen has just been stoned. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is stoned for preaching the truth. By the way, Stephen wasn't very nice. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, he called the Jews a bunch of stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. They took up stones and began to stone him. Why did Stephen die? Because he was speaking. Why did John the Baptist die? Because he was speaking. Acts 8, verse 1. Look what happens to the whole church here. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at the same time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church. Can you imagine Saul coming in here tonight? Knowing we have a meeting and he starts making havoc of us. He brings men in with whips and people just scatter. Oh, I don't know, some of you young people, it may be in my lifetime, but America's going to face some of these things. And you're going to face some persecution, real persecution. But notice what it says here, when they scattered. Verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. What happened to their children? You know, families were separated. Men and women put in prison. This is amazing. Verse number 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Wow. By the way, this is not the apostles. This is people like you and me. They went everywhere. You know, if it was me, I would probably think that they would go everywhere hiding. Can you imagine Saul coming in here and making havoc of us, and we scatter all over Lancaster County, all over the east, I think we're in the eastern side of Pennsylvania, and instead of running and hiding, they went everywhere preaching. You know, I read this and I say, I need to change my life. Now, you can read these verses and you can go through the book of Acts and you can say, well, that was wonderful for them back then. We're living in a different time. We have a different Christianity. But you know, that doesn't work. God gave us this testimony here as an example for us. Verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. I wonder how many of you here tonight are actually preaching the Lord Jesus, preaching His Word. Sons, daughters, young men, old men, servants and handmaidens, I will pour out of My Spirit and you shall prophesy. What do you think would happen if truly God's Spirit was in you tonight and so desirous of you to begin to open your mouth and everywhere you go to share the Word of God and to plant seeds in the hearts of the people that you meet? And that many of you tonight are quenching that Spirit and grieving that Spirit. You know, these people seem to be fearless, and I know why they were fearless, because they were filled with the Holy Ghost. But you know, fear is one of the greatest hindrances to going forth and prophesying. Fear, the fear of man. The fear of man brings a snare. And many people in this building tonight are held in a snare. You're held in a trap because you fear man. You know, young men come and they preach with us some on a college campus. And one of the things I share with them in Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus sent His disciples out to preach the gospel in the cities of Israel, He sat them down. And it's an amazing account as you read through Matthew chapter 10. He talked to them about, I'm going to send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. What a sight that is. Can you imagine being a sheep in the midst of wolves? He told them ahead of time, they're going to chase you from city to city. And then He said these words to them. And I can imagine them sitting there trembling. Peter, James, and John. He looks at them and says, and fear not them which can kill your body, but fear Him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. You know, these disciples were not trained preachers. They had only probably been walking with the Lord a number of months. It's only Matthew chapter 10, and He's sending them out, and He is cautioning them that they do not fear men, but that they fear God. Those men out there that persecute you only have the ability to kill your body, Peter. But fear Him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. You know, we're fearing the wrong thing. We're fearing the wrong thing. You say, I'm fearful of opening my mouth. I'm fearful of speaking boldly for the Lord Jesus because of men. You're fearing the wrong one. You need to be fearing God. He has the ability to destroy both body and soul in hell. They feared God. They truly feared God. Even to the point of being beaten, even to the point of imprisonment, even to the point of martyrdom. They feared God above the consequences of them speaking boldly for the Lord Jesus. My family was at Walmart a number of years ago, and I left my wife and daughter and younger son with, they were looking at some shoes in the shoe area there, and my oldest son and I, who was probably about 14 at the time, 13, we went to the front of the store to get some hair shampoo or some toothpaste or something like that. And in the process of going there, a man met us pushing a cart. He was an older man, probably 65, 70 years old. And he looked at my son and he said, stop. He said, son, could I tell you a Bible story? It's kind of an unusual thing that happened at Walmart. Can I tell you a Bible story? He looked at me and he said, sir, can I tell your son a Bible story? I said, well, sure. You can tell my son a Bible story. And so he began to share a Bible story with my son. I think it was about David and Goliath. And he weaved in a plan of salvation and shared with my son. And I was pretty impressed. A man walking through Walmart, just stopping and sharing the Lord Jesus. And afterwards, this man, he made an impression upon me because afterwards he looked at me and said, sir, do you know why I do this? And I said, no, tell me, why do you do this? And he looked at me and he had a very sober look on his face. And he looked at me and he said, sir, it's because I fear God. I fear God. You know, I see that man all over Mount Vernon. I have seen him in grocery stores. I see him at the hospital. And every time I see that man, whether at the grocery store, at the hospital, in the emergency room, I see that man talking to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he fears God. It's God's will in these last days for us to boldly proclaim His Word and plant His Word in the hearts of men. Some of you may not feel comfortable with doing that. I'm sure those disciples were not very comfortable in doing that. But we have to make a start. It's getting winter time. Let me give you just a little thought that you can use. You know, Jesus, when He met the woman at the well, He struck up a conversation using the natural things that were before both of them. They had a common interest in the water there at the well. And Jesus began His conversation with this woman, give me to drink. You know, there's many things in nature that we can start a conversation with and lead into some Bible truth and plant seeds in people's hearts. And snow is a beautiful one because the Bible talks a lot about snow. You know, you can start a conversation with pretty much anyone about the weather. You can ask them, maybe in a fresh snowfall, what do you think about the snow we got last night? And everybody is open to converse about the snow. And then after maybe a back and forth about the snow, you can just throw into them. Very simple. You know, thinking about snow, ma'am, or thinking about snow, sir, you know the Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Sir, has your sins been washed away? Are they as white as snow? You know, planting a seed in an individual's heart. You know what happens to most churches and most movements? When they are revived and when they are filled with the Holy Ghost, like we've been reading here in the book of Acts, they are evangelistic and they are bold and they go forth and they preach the Word of God. But as things begin to cool off and things begin to die, they move away from an evangelistic thrust to a social gospel. I remember my grandmother's church. She used to tell me when she was young, back in the 30s, how hot her church was and how they had a concern for souls and how they had revival meetings and the church was hot. But she says, now our biggest event of the year is an ice cream social. You know, God is interested in people who are willing to yield themselves to be used to prophesy and to spread His word. I'm all for helps ministries. I'm all for helping the poor. I'm all for rebuilding buildings. But that's not the thrust and the center of the church's business. Our thrust and center is to be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and communicating His word. Paul and Peter decided, you know, Paul said, I'll go to the uncircumcision. Peter, you go to the circumcision with the gospel. But let's remember the poor along the way. Help the poor. But you know, oftentimes when you open your mouth, the door will be shut on you. Many years ago, a friend and I was discipling this young man. We went to a city near us. And I decided what we would do is we would go door to door, knock on doors. And we would, when the people come to the door, we would say something like this to them. Can we do anything to be a help to you? I mean anything. What do you need? And so we did that door to door, and people were kind of surprised and shocked. And maybe if they needed their yard mowed, we'd mow the yard. Maybe if they needed groceries, we'd give them $20. If they needed this or that, we would just meet their needs in hopes that after a few weeks, we could get in the door. We could share the Bible with them. Well, there was one family in particular that each week we went, they had something for us to do, or maybe they needed some money. And we would give them some money. But it came time to approach the subject of speaking the Word of God. And I remember going to their home and walking in their home. And we were welcomed as long as we helped them. But as soon as we sat down and began to open the Scriptures, and I began to share with them a little bit about their use of their money. And they had a big screen TV, and they had some videos and many things that they were wasting their money on. And I shared with them, they need money. Why do you spend money on things like this? And you know what happened? The next week we went back. There was a note on the door. And here's what the note said. No preacher would ever tell me to give up my television set. We don't want you to come anymore. The Word of God. You know, there's many opportunities in America to preach the Word and to go forth and to plant seeds in the hearts of men and women, young people. We go to college campuses. It's a wonderful place to go. College campuses, in large part, are a public institution, taxpayer funded. We go there and take signs and banners, and we begin to preach and sing and preach and sing, and people will gather around and we can share with them the Word of God. But I tell you what, when you share the Word of God with people in this wicked world, you're going to suffer persecution for it. You're going to suffer. But my Bible says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you, shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Listen to this. For so persecuted they the what? Prophets that were before you. So persecuted they the prophets that were before you. In other words, those prophets in the Old Testament, when they prophesied, when they spoke up against sin, they were persecuted. In the New Testament, I'm going to make all of my children prophets. You shall all prophesy. Persecution. That's available for all of us. If we're willing to open up our mouth. There's a war going on. And you and I are to be fighting that war. And that war is to spread the Word of God. The potential for God's Word in the heart of a human being is so powerful that the devil himself tries to come and immediately take it out. And here we have the Word of God. And we have the Spirit of God to motivate us to go forth and to speak boldly in the name of the Lord. Do you have purpose in life? A lot of young people, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to get involved? And what is this Christian experience about? Haven't you seen it tonight? Going forth and speaking His word. Are you afraid of men? Do you have a fear of man? I want to encourage you to stretch yourself, to allow the New Testament church to be your example, and to go forth. And everywhere you go, open your mouth and speak of the Lord Jesus Christ and speak of His word. That is the vision that God has for these last days. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. There's coming a day when the Lord Jesus will return and He'll give us rewards. Are you prophesying, or are you grieving and quenching God's Spirit in your heart? Let's close tonight with a word of prayer, and then we'll have a song. Heavenly Father, we do pray, O God, that You would stir in the hearts of these young people what potential there is to turn the world upside down, to fill Jerusalem with the doctrine of Christ, to follow the example of these in the early church who were on the move and who were suffering for it. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would stretch us, that You would get us out of our own limitations, Lord, that we would rise up in faith and go forth and conquer. That we would not run in fear, but that with all boldness we might speak forth Thy word. May the word of God bring forth fruit in our own heart this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to number 367 in our books. Can I get a book from one of you guys? Thank you. 367. I can imagine a great crowd of people like this tonight. You know, God stirring in their heart. They're lifting up their voice. Grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness we might speak forth Thy word. And the place shaking. You know, that's a priority with the Lord. Let's stand and we'll sing number 367. And you know, it's been a long week here and God has been dealing with you in many different ways. If there is something that you'd like to resolve and like to pray about, just something you'd like to confess to the Lord, feel free to come tonight. I gave my life for Thee. What have You given to me? Let's sing. And as we sing, you can come. If you want to share or unburden your heart. 367. I gave my life for Thee. My precious blood I shed. That Thou might ransom me. Thank you. Preach the truth. Speak to people about the truth. You want to suffer? You'll suffer. You may not get beaten, but you'll get reviled, and cursed, and spit upon. You'll suffer. He suffered much for us. Are you going to suffer for Him? I suffered much for Thee. Jesus came and He suffered and He died so that He could redeem us, and then He handed it over to us, His church, and He says to us, "You go forth and suffer and lay your life down and you die that the message might be taken to the world." And that's our responsibility, to be ambassadors for Christ. Verse number 4. "And I have brought to thee my home above, salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts for thee. What hast thou brought for me? Sing one more song here, number 794, if anybody else wants to come. 794. God gave us the early church for an example to follow. 1 John chapter 4. And I like to preach through 1 John. It's a book that gives assurance of salvation. One of the ways that we know that we're converted is if we keep His commandments. Another way is if we love the brethren. There's about 4 clear ways in 1 John that we know that we are His. And here's one of the ways that we know. "Hereby we know that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." You know, it's one of the marks of a true Christian is to prophesy. 794. Let's sing the first and the last, and then we'll close. Brother Simon, you can come. "King of my life, I crown thee now. Shows that the world and the devil are trying to stop the Word of God in the public arena, then stop the Word of God from being preached in the public arena, then stop the Word of God from being preached in the church. And it's coming to America. We still have an opportunity to be out there in the public arena and preaching the Word of God. Don't wait until they come here and take your Bible and then stand up. We should be standing up out there now and being prophets and prophetesses. Verse number 4, and we'll close.
May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross. Calvary, and may we lead others to Calvary. You may be seated. Those of you that would like to have counsel, sisters can go out to my left here, brothers to my right. We will have counselors available if you would like. I had to think. Brother Jerry preached to us a very, maybe to some of us at least, sobering message. A message that I would think most of us would have to say it touches our lives. And it reminded me of an older man, I would guess in his 80s, that was here today. I've met him several times, and every time I see him, he's just bubbling over with telling me about what God is doing in his life, and telling, giving me scriptures and how they're speaking to him. And he was doing it again today. I like to think that's what God would want of every one of us. That this is an old man. You know, we think sometimes that, you know, as we get older, the fire dies down. This man has a fire burning in his bosom. And I believe that it needs to come forth from each one of our lives, from that place in our heart where we have a fire burning in our bosom and we cannot contain it. When we have that, we don't have to be prodded. We'll go. May we be faithful. I thought of the scripture in Ephesians where Paul himself, you know, we look at Paul and we say, what a bold apostle. If it weren't for the apostle Paul, we wouldn't have not even half of the New Testament of what we have today. We see how he went when he went into a city and boldly proclaimed the gospel. But his request was that they would pray for him, that he might have boldness. Let us pray for each other, that we may have boldness. Well, amen. May the work of God work in each one of our hearts, that we could be faithful to be able ambassadors of the grace of God that has been given to each one of us.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.